Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Can these bones live? This is the question God poses to Ezekiel as he stands in a valley full of dry bones. As far as the eye can see, the ground is littered with death and decay. There's no mistaking the symbolism of this vision. The bones are the people of Israel in exile in Babylon, removed from everything that once gave their life meaning and security. And they have just heard that the Babylonians have captured Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Not only have they been removed from their place of worship, from the place where God dwells with his people, but that very place has been destroyed. And so the people are cut off. Their hope is gone. Everything they once knew is no more. Their home, their way of life, their place of worship, their rituals, their historical and cultural artifacts, everything they had trusted is gone, including, it would seem, their God. For either God has abandoned them to this place, or he has been defeated by the Babylonian gods. What other explanation is there? So there is no hope for the people of Israel. There is no life on these bones. There is only a future of decay, only the presence of death. Now, maybe you'll accuse me of being overly dramatic here, but I think that many of us believe that we too are standing in a valley of dry bones. we too feel as though the things that once gave our lives meaning and security and purpose have been stripped away one by one. That we are losing some of those things by which we have always made sense of life, including church. A few weeks ago, I sat in a conference workshop where a room full of pastors and ministry leaders named that it feels as though we are in a wilderness. Church attendance is declining. Church buildings sit empty or are being sold to be coffee shops or libraries. We looked at some numbers from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. In 2020, they polled adults 18 years and older on church attendance and religiosity. In 1946, 67% of Canadians attended church weekly. In 1996, that number had dropped to 30%. In 2020, that number was 11%. In 1996, the number of people who identified as having some Christian affiliation in Canada was 70%. In 2021, that number was 50%. And the CRC is not immune from these trends. In 1992, the total membership of the Christian Reformed Church was at its highest at 316,415 people. In 2012, that had dropped to 251,000. And as of this year, that number has declined further to 189,753. And now the CRC faces an uncertain future. What will happen as a result of our differences over human sexuality? Will there be a split? Will the Canadian CRC chart its own path forward? Will some churches leave and join other denominations? In 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, what will it mean to be Christian Reformed? The world is changing. The church is changing. And that brings with it fear and anxiety. The things we have relied on to help us make sense of the world feel shaky or like they have vanished entirely. And as we look at this decline, at this decay of the church, we wonder to ourselves, where is God in the midst of it? Have we been cut off? Is our hope gone? Can these bones live? In Ezekiel's vision, it's not Ezekiel or the people of Israel that ask that question. It's God. And it's asked not as a lament, but as a challenge. Son of man, God says to Ezekiel, do you believe these bones can live? Do you believe the impossible can be possible? Do you believe the dead can live again? And I hear in Ezekiel's response to God some humility, but also a similar kind of challenge. Sovereign Lord, only you know. It's as if Ezekiel is saying, it doesn't matter what I think about this. It only matters what you will do. And God does. With Ezekiel as his mouthpiece, he speaks into being flesh and tendons and muscles that come over the bones. And then he fills those bodies with breath, with ruach, which in the Hebrew is also the word for spirit. The Spirit of God fills these lifeless bodies and they are brought back to life. They are restored. They are made new. Ezekiel, who once stood in a valley of dry bones, now stands in a valley brimming with life. And this, he says to the people of Israel, this is your future. You are not destined for decay, but for life. God will put his spirit in you and you will live. You will be restored. You will be made new. And then you will know that it is the Lord who has done this. That this life comes not from your hand, but God's. Because in the face of death and decay, when we are facing an uncertain future, we tend to turn to the things we know. The Israelites, after wandering in the wilderness for a while, created a golden calf, something they could see and touch, something they were familiar with. In our own wildernesses, we tend to turn to strategic plans and growth charts and management books. We develop programs and follow church influencers on Instagram and put together conferences. But life, says Ezekiel, will not come from us. Life can only come from the Lord. Last year, among all of the things that happened at Synod, there was a report from the Council of Delegates in response to an overture asking that something be done about membership decline in the CRC. And the Council of Delegates referenced a 2018 report from Resonate Global Mission and Calvin Theological Seminary on church planting and renewal. And the report makes this claim: renewal for evangelism and church planting is an act of the Holy Spirit and not the application of the correct tools by ministry professionals. If mission is God's, and the church exists to participate in God's mission, then renewal begins and ends with God. The Lord must breathe life into the dry bones of his church and give it a passion for evangelism and church planting. Such breath reinvigorates Christ's church for mission through prayerful encounters with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on, because it is God's mission that the church participates in, a critical question that we must continually orient ourselves to is the question of discerning what God is doing in our midst and what God is inviting us to participate in his mission. The workshop I attended at that conference where we talked about wilderness was hosted by the New Leaf Network. And New Leaf is an organization committed to supporting, equipping, and connecting church planters and spiritual entrepreneurs and missional practitioners in a post-Christian Canada. They are paying attention to how the Spirit is bringing new life and inviting the church into a new thing, to reimagine what church might look like, and to pay attention to what God is doing in our midst. Because God does not stop doing. The Spirit does not stop moving. The Spirit sweeps over a valley of dry bones. The Spirit fills prophets with words that challenge our preconceived notions. The Spirit descends upon a room of disciples as tongues of fire and grants them the power to preach the gospel in new and exciting ways. The Spirit does not stop moving. So as we sat in that conference room discussing wilderness, my friend Lynette, a CRC pastor in London, wondered if this darkness we might feel we're experiencing isn't the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb, the place where new life happens. I thought about this question on Wednesday night as some of us gathered in the sanctuary and listened to David Skeen speak about his indigenous gardening project here in Kitchener-Waterloo. David is Métis, and he calls the garden project Wissaktuwinawak, which means the first green shoots that come up from Mother Earth after a fire has gone through the land. Sometimes the darkness of the tomb is in fact the darkness of the womb. For where the Spirit is, there is life. This morning, we will hear stories from our ministry leaders of how they have experienced God at work this year. These are stories of life, stories of the Spirit moving and doing something new in our midst. These stories call us to open our eyes, to expand our imagination, to wonder about what it is God might be up to in our midst. And this is the invitation of a poem that I read in my devotions this week. And I'm going to close with that poem now. It's called Morning Reflections by the Nigerian-American poet Enuma Okoro. What is this unfolding, this slow-going unraveling of gift held in hands open to the wonder and enchantment of it all? What is this growing, this rare showing, like blossoming of purple-spotted forests by roadside grown weary with winter months? Seasons affected, routinely disordered by playful disturbance of divine glee, weaving through limbs with sharpened shards of mirrored light, cutting dark spaces, interlacing creation, commanding life with whimsical delight. What is this breaking, this hopeful remaking, shifting stones, addressing dry bones, dizzying me with blessings, intercepting my grieving, and raising the dead all around me? Can these bones live? Sovereign Lord, only you know. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord God, cause our dry bones to live and restore our hope. For you alone have the power to bring new life. Amen.